Hello, welcome to another episode of the Wannabe Entrepreneur, the podcast about what's really like to bootstrap a company. How are you? How have you been? I hope you have been achieving everything you want to achieve in your personal and professional life. We haven't talked for a while, I think a few weeks, and today I want to do like a kind of special episode. Today I want to, with you, always together, to contemplate weird thoughts that have been coming to my head. Thoughts around entrepreneurship. You know, my head, I'm always thinking, and I really love to discuss anything, really. Like, that's why I like this podcast. It's like, that's why I like to interview people. Any topic. And if you have heard the episode I did with Peter Levels, we just started talking about philosophy and, I don't know, just about the universe in general and you know, being human and everything. I don't know. I'm fascinated about everything and contemplating and philosophizing. And often I have these kind of thoughts around entrepreneurship. So today I have a few ideas I want to discuss with you. A few thoughts that are a little bit unconventional. But before I just dive deep into that, let me quickly like give you an overview on how is everything going with me, with my projects, with my entrepreneurship life. So yeah, let's try to make it quick. So first of all, PodSqueeze, it's growing. It's still not growing to that huge growth rate that I wanted, that growth rate of like 20% month over month. But it seems that whatever we are doing, it's kind of working. The growth is slowly accelerating. And a few things that we have been doing, or mostly we have been focusing on SEO. So we have been focusing on getting more backlinks. We landed a few important ones. By the way, if you don't know what backlinks are, basically when other websites link you. So let's say someone writes a blog post about you, about PodSqueeze, that's a backlink. From the backlinks, then you have the follow and not follow. Basically, you can tell the browser that this link you should not follow. You should not try to crawl it. Those don't count. So only the follow links count. And then the links from websites with the big authority that Google considers that they are expertise. They have big expertise in that matter. That, for instance, for us, if we get a backlink from a podcasting or a hosting or something related to podcasting with a big domain authority, this will influence us. And in the end, we'll make whatever we get indexed at Google, either blog posts or our landing pages or our homepage, it will show up more and in higher ranks. So that's basically it. That's been our main focus with our marketing strategy. We've been focusing on that almost 100%. And yeah, it's working. It's working. It's very hard work. Getting these backlinks, it's really, really a lot of work. But yeah, it seems to be working. So quite happy about that. And besides that, Joe and I have been kind of discussing about what are the next steps. And we kind of already decided that we want to start a new project. Yeah, it's very exciting. In this time, the project will be mostly led by him. So I think PodSqueeze is kind of my idea at first, even though obviously we both worked on it. So I've been kind of more like driving the product side and everything. So this time it's more him driving. He came up with the idea of the project. He came up with a proof of concept. And we now have a team to implement it. We have a developer, we have like content writer and everything. So that's really exciting because now we are starting to a new adventure, but with kind of a much bigger support, which is really cool. So yeah, I'm not ready yet to tell you about that project. That will come soon in a later future episode. But basically that's been it. We've been also just grabbing our bikes and going. We live very close to each other, so we just work from coffee places and we try to work more together now to keep the momentum, keep the energy going. We tried to get a co-working space, but to be honest, we didn't find anything cool in our area. That's why as well I've been wanted to kind of start my own co-working spaces. But yeah, and last but not least, I also started playing around with another side project, which is Indie Maker merch. Yeah, like t-shirts and hoodies. And I know what you're asking, like, what the fuck, Tiago? Why do you have this idea? It's because, like, I don't care too much about fashion and being fashionable, but I like to wear clothes, obviously. And I don't like, if I need to wear clothes, it's a bit weird. But I don't, why would I like just show the brand of someone else, right? Like whatever, Gucci. Well, I don't have Gucci, but you know what I mean? Why should I carry with me like Nike logos or something? No. If I want to do something, I would either carry my own logos, like I'm always wearing the PodSqueeze t-shirts, or I'm carrying something that I connect with. So I wanted to create a brand around indie making. And I have already designed some hoodies, some nice t-shirts, some flyers. Not flyers, posters. So if you're interested in that, just go to indiemakermerch.com. I will also link it in the show notes of this episode. And I already have a few of them. And you can also support this podcast by doing so. I really try to make it as cheap as possible, you know, whatever, as cheap as this website allowed me, and we like try to, I'm not putting big margins on it whatsoever. So yeah, let's see. I don't know. I think it's a cool project as well because it has kind of this inbuilt marketing loop. Because if people start using it and wearing it, they'll start definitely sharing on Twitter. More people won't wear it and so on. So I just need to get it going. But at the moment, I'm just, you know, designing some cool stuff and sharing on Twitter to see what people think. Yeah, that's basically it. And I probably have skipped a lot, but yeah, in general, that's kind of a brief summary of everything that has been going on. And now I want to discuss and get into these more kind of controversial topics that I want to explore in today's episodes. And yeah, if you have any questions regarding my journey, PodSqueeze, whatever, feel free to shoot me a message at WBTiago on X or Twitter, whatever. Yeah, so let's get started. The first thought that has been kind of crossing my mind for a long time, for a really long time, and that I've shared here as well as a struggle that I have, is how to balance your professional life or your work and the rest of your life. And with that, I include exercising, family time, and, you know, being with your partner time, and me time, traveling, playing video games, everything that is non-business. Like, how do you manage that? And I always feel a bit conflicted here. I always feel a bit conflicted for many reasons. The first reason is, first of all, I'm and everyone now is much more aware of, like, mental health. It's something that everyone knows, and a lot of people, there's a lot of cases, and we spoke, for instance, with Dagobert about it, like burnout is something that is very common, and depression, and as well, in general, like not enjoying life because you have, like, you've been working all the time. I feel that this is something that is more, we are more aware now, like in this generation, these days, when I look at, like, when my grandfather used to work and so on, this concept didn't exist. Like, burnout didn't exist, or if it existed, like, no one knew about it. And now we live in this other society where we are more aware. And when you try to do something, right, it's natural, especially when it's something new, that you'll just focus 100% on that. And there's so much, it seems that there's much more work than time in your day. But then you go on social media and you see all of these, like, so-called billionaires and experts, and they always come with this amazing routine. They always look super healthy, super tan, super muscular, and it's like, yeah, I wake up, and then I just, whatever, do a cold shower, then a sauna, then I do my whatever diet I'm doing today, then I do 2 hours of exercise, and then I have like 2 hours of super focused work, and that's enough, and then I go and pick up my children, and I go, whatever, traveling, and I go have fun. Yeah, and that's a lot of pressure, because, like, you look at them and then you look at you and like, where the fuck do they get the time? Like, sincerely, like, I feel that most of my time should be focused on my business. When I'm not working for the business directly, it should be either learning about business or, okay, maybe I can include a little bit of exercise, but not every fucking day. That's super hard, really, especially if you have, like, family, if you have a wife, husband, and girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, like, how do you put everything together, right? Something must be prioritized, right? And if you prioritize sauna and cold shower and 3 hours of exercise every day, then either you then just spend the rest of the time working, or you just know how to work better than I am working now. Like, you are more productive. So what I've realized, first of all, is there's so much bullshit. There's so much, like, a lot of these so-called experts, they are not experts, right? And it's really, really hard to make money. It's so hard, really. And when you see people, like, saying that they're making tons of, like, whatever, 100K MRRs, and they're making tons of money, and they're like, showing their luxurious life and saying, like, yeah, my business, I don't trust this anymore. I really don't trust this anymore. Like, something, because I know that I am really invested in entrepreneurship, and I'm not dumb, right? I mean, it's impossible that they are just basically doing, showcasing whatever they're doing, right? It seems that they're always on Twitter, they're not working, and then they are super successful. There's something they're not showing. So normally when you see this, there's a few questions you should ask yourself or ask this person, and you'll find that the answers will kind of justify that whatever they are saying is not entirely true, right? So sometimes they tell you, okay, I have this crazy MRR, but okay, are you profitable? Most people are not. Like, you'll be surprised with the profitability of these businesses. They are maybe making 100K MRR, but they're spending 200 in marketing. Or they are VC-backed and they are still kind of burning through their runway. Yeah, this happens. It's not as clear. Like, it's really not. But anyways, putting that aside and kind of realizing, and now, I just now was like going through YouTube and saw someone is saying exactly this. Like, once when I got into my business, especially in the beginning, it was 100% this. Some, I had to sacrifice a few things. I had to prioritize a few things. Maybe I would sacrifice a little bit my social life, my traveling, my exercise. Like, it's really, like, it's a lot of work. And don't let anyone convince you that it's not. Especially at first, especially when you are learning, right? But with that said, I'm always also questioning myself, or asking myself rather, is that what it's like, how can I spend my time as in an optimal way as possible? How can I be really efficient with my time, with my work? And this goes back to the question of, like, okay, let's say I'll give you this exercise to you. Let's say that you have a team of, like, researchers and everyone, like, working in the lab. And your goal is to find the cure for cancer. Yeah, I know it's a bit too topical, but, you know, just do this with me. Yeah, you want to find the cure for cancer, and you are the manager, and you want to make sure that you obviously want to find it as fast as possible, right? You don't know if it exists. You don't know if you'll ever get there, because that's exactly, as an entrepreneur, you don't know how much money you'll make. You don't know if your business will ever succeed. Like, you don't know, right? But you need to increase the chances of that happening. How do you measure, like, what metric would you use to measure the efficiency of your team? This is, like, I was asking this message. I was questioning myself about this. Like, is it, The most common thing that is now changing is for bosses to use the time they work. Like, you need to work 8 hours. That's it. If you are not working 8 hours, then you'll get fired. And this used to be, and I guess still is in some kind of businesses and countries, but this used to be a metric to live for. Like, every boss would control this to the point that you had to log your time. I remember, like, when I was starting as a developer, I need to log my time and say, okay, this hour I'm doing this, that hour I'm doing that. Other jobs, they need to say when they enter, like, physically. They have something where they go there and they log in physically. Then they log out whenever they go to lunch. Then they log in again once they're back, and then they log out once they leave. Controlling hours. But the thing is this really the best way to optimize for efficiency? Is this how you, like manage your team that is trying to find the cure for cancer. You would promote and demand that every member would work X amount of time. I don't think that is right. It doesn't make sense. Because just because, first of all, you are there, it doesn't mean you are working, right? Then just because you are working doesn't mean that you are working at the top of your capacity. Maybe you're just tired and you're just making mistakes. And if you're making mistakes, you're causing more trouble and spending and causing more damage than making any good. So maybe it would be better for you to work only 3 hours because you're more productive than working 8 hours. So, okay, definitely. Time, or at least only like logging your time, is not the best way. So what is? Okay, another possibility. Another possibility is to number of tasks. And this is very common in as a developer in our area, tech area. I don't care how long you work, as long as you get the job done. That's the only thing it matters. Okay, that's fair. That's more flexible as well, because this kind of eliminates the problem of people not being at their full capacity. So now you give the ball to them and you say, okay, whatever, you can just work 3 hours. You can work and then go to the beach and then work again. I don't care when you are working. I don't care how long you work, as long as at the end of the month, you're doing your job, the tasks that are allocated to you. Okay, I think this is a bit better. I think we are getting there. This is a little bit better than what we had before, just counting the time. The problem is, how do you know how many tasks they can make, right? Like if someone is allocating the tasks, if it's that possible, if you're working in that mode where someone is saying, okay, you do 5 tasks this week, how do you know that they cannot do 6 or 7? Maybe they could. Maybe they could. And if they would, they would reach the cure of cancer faster, right? So still is not the best way to optimize. And I give you one more. Okay, it's fine if you are working with like a code monkey, someone that is like, you give them a task and they just have to code it. But normally when you're hiring someone, you want someone with some kind of critical thinking, someone that will tell you when something is wrong, will give suggestions on how to improve things. Like, I'm a really big believer that a developer should not be someone that is there writing code, should know about the business side of things, should know about the product side of things, should be an engineer as well, right? To know about if we're doing something wrong, if we're doing something that will damage the product, right? So in that sense, it's not only about the task as well. They need to give you something else. They need to generate other ideas. They need to give their own input. So it's not about the tasks. So that, again, you're not measuring this. You're not optimizing this to the maximum. So what else? Like, what metric can we use? And when I say, okay, it's easier for us to think that we use this metric to manage a team. But if we had such a metric, if we had such a like formula to manage efficiency, we could apply it to ourselves. That's what I want. I want to apply this to me so that I know that I am as efficient as I can be. So that I know that now I can chill and it's fine, because I'm actually optimizing my output. So I think in the end, and I don't think there's like, I don't have a solution for this. If you do, please send it to me. But I think it's probably a combination of multiple metrics all combined in a formula. Probably time of like hours of work. Yeah, you have it there. Probably number of tasks. Yes, it's also there. But as well, like motivation is also there. And I don't know. One cool thing that we did when I was working at Trivago, we would do this like 360 method. You probably know. A lot of companies do this. 360 is like a method to evaluate each other. So instead of just being your boss evaluating you, you allow all of your peers, the people that work directly with you, to evaluate you. And they would evaluate in like multiple areas. Either like your competency, like how fast you are working, if you're a nice person, if you're cool to hang around, everything. And this would give a score. And based on this score, they would define if you'd get a raise or not. Now, this is still not ideal because this also reflects the culture of the company. If everyone in the company has the culture of like underwork or overwork, then they will measure you accordingly. If everyone only works 3 hours a day, and then if you work 4 hours a day, you will have great results. But it doesn't mean that you are optimal. But I do believe that like such a system is probably the best way. A way where it's not only you evaluating yourself, it's a combination of a self-evaluation, a combination of others evaluating you, and then a combination of like harder facts, like number of hours you work. And based on this, you just kind of check and try to go for it. I don't think we'll ever have like the answer. But one thing I think is really important is to always keep an open mind and question yourself. Not just, I see myself doing this, and I think this is like common among every indie maker out there. We just start making features, doing whatever, shorts, doing this kind of marketing, sending emails, and we enter in this autopilot, and every day we do the same, but we don't question ourselves if this is really the best thing we can be doing with our time. So to just be critical and then or have this critical thinking and ask ourselves, wait, check the metrics. Like what is the impact of what we're doing? And is this really somehow getting us closer to our goal? If not, then let's try something else. Yeah. So that's one of the things I wanted to kind of discuss today. Some of these thoughts. It's like, is there like formula to optimize efficiency? Now, the other topic and the last one I want to discuss as well is something that I've been thinking. So let me start with this. We often, when I tell you that someone is very rich, someone that started from nothing and now is a billionaire, how do you think they get there? I don't know. There's many ways, but most people will think, okay, this person worked a lot. They were grinding, always working. And this is really like, if you look at middle class and as well, a lot of people on YouTube and so on, they really cultivate as well this grinding culture. And this is kind of the opposite of when I started this. But yeah, that also happens. A lot of people say like work, work, work. That's also another philosophy. Is this really is how like billionaires get their money? By just working their ass off. Maybe some of them. But if you look at like middle class, I think that people, they work so hard. Doctors, that's a great example. They work extra hours. And sure, they make some nice amount of money. But are they millionaires? Are they billionaires? Is it really the best way to just overwork or not? I don't know. I was thinking a little bit around, and I was watching this documentary, really interesting, about the crash of 2008, the subprime crash. And it's really frustrating because in the end, the ones that knew that this was happening, nothing happened to them. They were able to either keep their jobs or they left their jobs with millions of pounds of dollars. As the compensation or salary, whatever, right? So sometimes just doing these little tweaks, and no, I'm not saying that, yeah, just be criminal. That's how you get rich. But I don't know, like if I was thinking oil, right? When you think billionaires or trillionaires, you think oil, right? You think people working in the UAE or something, and they own these oil companies. But then I was asking myself, is it really the best way to make a lot of money to actually own an oil company? Or is it like to own the state where the oil company work and like just get some tax? For every pound you make, I get 5 cents. That's it. I don't do anything, I just get 5 cents. I don't know. This seems a much better way to get rich than to simply actually work and open my refinery and selling oil and get my hands dirty. So this to say, that it seems to me that the way to be very successful, the way to make a lot of money, is not necessarily to work very hard. Maybe it's just to find making money and getting shit done is not necessarily the same thing. And this came, and kind of I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about this other concept. The concept of getting rich is not necessarily making money. This is a bit weird at first, but bear with me. Let me explain. So there's other ways to get paid. I mean, you don't need to get paid only in cash, right? Like, you can get paid in, for instance, networking, right? So, or like someone owes you a favor. You do something for someone and they say, okay, I owe you a favor. And that's nice because a favor is a way of payment. A favor is not, it's not money, right? I mean, you can ask for money as a return of the favor, but normally it's something else, another way. If someone owes me a favor, that's a different way for them to pay me, right? Now, it really depends who is owing me a favor. So let's say, for instance, that I have a friend, and like a hypothetical situation, whatever. I saved the life of a mechanic. And the mechanic is like, ah, Tiago, thank you so much. You saved my life. I owe you something. And then one day, my car is broken. And I don't know what to do. And I know that if I would go to the store, it would be super expensive. Because they would like open the fucking whole car. They would figure everything out. And they'll charge me a leg just to get it, you know, working again. But now I can activate this favor, right? And I tell this mechanic, hey, can you help me out? And they say, yes. And then he or she just saved me thousands and thousands of euros. But they didn't pay me with money, right? So in this case, having this favor, it's actually better. It's a great asset, right? It's a different kind of asset. It's like owning a house as well. Owning a house, it's very interesting because, again, it's not money. Sure, you can liquidize it. You can sell the house eventually and turn it into money. But you can also host a friend, right? You can host a friend. You can have a party. Like, the power of real estate is not only money. It's like having a place. Like, for instance, now I was looking for a place to do a co-working space. And I see so many houses, empty houses, really amazing houses out there. And I'm like, wow, I wish I had this house. I don't wish I had the money to buy the house necessarily. I wish I had the house. Because then I can just use it. I use the space, right? I can organize an event. And in this event, I can have all the millionaires of Portugal. And this is great. The power of this. Because this is networking. This is knowing the right people. If you know everyone in one industry, it's so much easier for you to start a business, you know? If I knew anyone in the podcasting industry, anyone or everyone in the podcasting industry, if I knew the, whatever, if I was in good terms with the host of the CEOs of the top podcasting companies, it would be so much easier for me to sell PodSqueeze. I would first of all ask for backlinks to everyone. Hey, just write a blog post about me, please. And this would just, from one day to the other, catapult the ranking of PodSqueeze at Google to like the top. That easy. I don't need to work. I don't need to like make crazy features. And I just need to activate these people, to activate these favors, to make these connections. So the power of networking is really, really important, but it's so much harder to measure. Yeah, this is something I'm always discussing with my co-founder. How do you measure the impact of going to a conference? It's so hard. It's so hard because most of the times you go to the conference and you'll not capitalize on it immediately, but you'll meet a few cool people that maybe 1 year from now, you'll ask for them for a favor or you ask for like a network or whatever, and they can help you out immensely. They can be the your edge. You know, what is the other word? Not the edge. Something advantage. And fuck, I'm blanking out on the word. But yeah, they can be your edge. Yeah. So it's not your skills, is not your tech, is knowing that people, is connecting these people together. So sometimes I think about like these kind of businesses that do not necessarily make a lot of money cash, like a restaurant. Like most restaurants, it's super hard to make money. They have very low margins. It's so much work. So much work. Everyone says, like, if you're opening a restaurant, you're crazy. Right? Or even coffee places. I see these huge coffee places, beautiful spaces. And I get there, I get a coffee. Sure, sometimes the coffees are expensive, whatever, $4. But then I'm there 5 hours working. And it's fine. And I wonder, like, how do they make money? But then I think, okay, but they have this amazing space, right? It's so easy for them to just organize a party there or a networking event or borrow the space to someone. Yeah. I don't know. When I started questioning these kind of things, you know, and they are a bit esoteric. That's true. Sure, measuring your return in cash, in money, in MRR is really important. It's really a great metric, but it's not the only one. And sometimes I ask myself if, like, the billionaires, if that's their secret. If their secret is knowing that there's something more valuable than money. Yeah. Like having a favor, networking, connecting with the right people. That's more valuable than money itself. That it's okay to have a business that actually makes that you're losing cash, but you're getting, or you're losing money, but you're getting something in return, something that will help you. And this is very like, I know what you're thinking, Tiago. Yeah. So you're thinking like lobbying, you're thinking someone owing something that's kind of borderline criminal, you know, borderline blackmail. No. I'm not saying blackmail, I'm not saying like doing something to hurt them, just like creating these relationships and helping each other out, like networking, the power of networking. I don't know. I would just raise this topic, this thought into your head that maybe there's other things more valuable than money. And that's it. That's it for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Sorry if it was a little bit more crazy and esoteric. But yeah, I would love to hear your thoughts on this. So make sure to shoot me a message at WBTiago and check out the Indie Maker merch at indiemakermerch.com. The link will also be in the show notes. This was another Wannabe Entrepreneur. See you next time.